Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So you got the Apollo 11 projected onto the Washington Monument.
Yes. Yes.
And then they show the launch.
Yes.
What happened when the the tip of the rocket clears the top of the Washington Monument? Do you just see it vanish, or do you?
No.
Was unclear, Mike. The actual monument launched. They put.
You know what?
He's out at 5 o'clock in the morning, working all morning long, and then he. I call him. He said, "I'm hauling my last trap. I'll be there in 20 minutes." What are the odds of that?
That's great.
What are the odds of that happening? You know.
Or,
and then,
is it calculated?
Oh, you mean like he punched a hole in the boat and he came? No, no, because he had his
he's hiding whole
crew
Mike,
on there. So
he was hiding behind the island knowing that he loosened three screws on your bilge pump.
He'll be calling in 10 minutes. Right. And don't forget to put Kathy's earring on it.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Monday for many of you on the eastern part of the United States, or in the eastern quadrant of the United States. The heat wave will be breaking a little bit today, so I say to you, congratulations on that. It did reach up here in Maine, where temperatures were in the 90s up here. When their temperatures in the 90s up here, I know how the rest of the country is suffering.
Yes.
Or as as they call it in Florida, Monday. That's the way it is down there.
But Florida, Floridians, they've made a deal with the climate. Yes. They live
they've
there.
They've made a deal with it. You live there and suffer for 4 months of the year so that you can enjoy the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And really, 4 months is, sometimes it's May through October. So May, June, July, August, September. Sometimes it's 6 months of the year where it's super, like, balls hot.
Right.
Anyway, is it better down there in our nation's capital today?
A little better today, and tomorrow's going to be even better.
It's 80 degrees at 9 in the morning. I say that it's all relative.
Did you get the thunderstorms yesterday?
We did, but we got the thunder, but no rain.
Yeah, we got hit pretty bad out
no
there.
No rain.
So.
Well, let me play an effect that we got from this morning. Oscar Santana leaving his house.
Oh, my God.
You took a spill?
I'd like to play a dedication for him. Thanks, Mike, if I fell in love with you,
would you promise to be true? It's a falling song.
If I fell, yes.
No wounds, and I won't be sharing them. No wounds.
I will say this. You're glowing with the perspiration of a man who fought
God.
A fall.
Jesus Christ.
What?
Embarrassment.
How did the fall take place?
Because I'm 12, I wear a backpack to work, right? That's what I do.
Anything to appear to be younger.
Oh, it's
than
just
are.
Terrible.
He's a young man on the go in the city, Mike.
I will say that traveling, wearing a backpack is the ultimate way
yeah,
to
but
go.
To the that's office, a, those yeah. days might be numbered. Like, I just, yeah. I think that that's over.
I prefer a hard, square briefcase.
Do you also wear, like, white tennis sneakers and then put on your pumps when you get to the office? Is that what you do? Well, I can't see.
Just he is wearing
just
tennis
sneakers,
shoes.
Just sneakers. Okay,
but
sneakers
he's a woman. Okay.
I don't put on my dress shoes.
W-O-M-A-N.
All right, so what happened?
My backpack got caught on the wrought iron railing that is right in front of my house, the little postage stamp of a little landing.
You want to know where Oscar lives, go back and rent an old movie called The Exorcist. And Oscar lives on the corner where the guy was standing under the street lamp, because he does live in Georgetown.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So that's
I had somebody this weekend say, where are the Exorcist stairs? And then we've just pointed down the street.
Like, what you need to
they
do.
They are still
block
scary.
Up. One block up.
What you should do if you rent The Exorcist, though, get Letterboxd, but then watch it regular, because that's how wide Oscar's house is. You need to smoosh it in.
Yep, it absolutely. It is. it's that small still.
Narrow.
So you hooked yourself.
I hooked myself, and they're not that many stairs. That's why I was like, so I felt the hook, right? So instead of
two steps,
stopping and then looking back and unhooking, I figured do the old swing to like unlatch it. Anybody's ever hooked themselves on the back where you figure you could do anything you want, like you could when you're 18 years old.
Right.
I do that. My backpack unleashes itself, spins me around the back, as I stumble into what is a minivan in front of my house parked on the street, smash into that thing. Thank God they have panels that don't dent. And I look around like, because I'm on my ass and my back's to the minivan.
So you're flat. You went down.
I flew down.
And so you actually did the bounce off the minivan? Did you face the minivan and then fall on your ass?
No, I landed back into the minivan. Stopped me from dying in traffic.
Okay, thank God. That's better.
A Monday morning fall. There's nothing like it.
And then I look around and there's this lady walking her dog. And I'm like, well, that was embarrassing. Maybe she'll say something.
Yeah.
She walks by and she smiles and keeps walking.
Yeah. Hello.
Like, yeah.
Good morning.
I don't want to engage the man. He might be dangerous.
Meanwhile, my Uber's there giving me one star less, being like, I guess that guy's getting in this car afterwards.
I hobble into that Uber.
Low rating.
Well,
he goes, okay, man?
It could be worse. It could be Scott and Bailey, my favorite British show that I finished binging last night. And it ended with them getting a serial killer. And they go, now, who's doing the clock? What's that?
I'm texting my wife as I texted her 10 minutes ago. I said, can you bring me something? I'm sweating. I'm trying to get this off my brow. Can you do something to help me out?
That really was. Did you see him do that?
Yeah.
That really was kind of the real Oscar.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking at her and he's going,
yeah.
Like me. Yeah. Like me now.
Why would I buy you an iWatch? Why would I buy you an iWatch? You got to be, I can see you anytime.
Right. Engage.
Yes.
Just because I'm curious. Yeah. Because this is funnier than the fall to me. Yeah. So in your text to your missus, what are you asking for?
I'm asking her for
beverage.
Well, no, I'm asking her for something to wipe my brow with.
Okay, you said get me a towel or something.
Yes, it's a matting cream and a latte. And then none of those things
arrived. Want some of your TV makeup?
Yes, yes.
You want some of your TV makeup?
Oprah left this morning at 8:30, and she goes, later, and I'm like, what about me? She said, new rules, and she left me. She left me.
New rules.
Rob, did you get your makeup this morning?
Don't I look it? I put on my hair filler.
You know, Rob Spiewak, I'm going to give you credit. Your face gets like rosy once in a while, but I think Rob's got pretty good skin.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was told this when I was, I had this project I worked with Joe D'Apatow called Crashing. And when I was in makeup, the lady said,
what did she say? What did the professionals say?
She said, you won't need much. You have lovely skin.
See?
Yeah.
He doesn't have, you don't have a blotch on you, right?
No. But for years of clean living, Mike.
I will tell you, my skin now, Rob, you'll be very happy to remember this name from television past in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
he knows the name I'm going to mention, a gentleman by the name of Ed Turney.
Turney's World.
in his later years on Channel 7, the ABC affiliate in Washington, D.C., his skin just slowly started to slough off.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He went from, and by the way, Bill O'Reilly, one of the things that really pissed him off is when, I think he was debating Al Franken, and they were talking about the blotchy skin.
Yes.
And the Irish have, not all Irishmen, Colin Farrell is an Irishman.
Beautiful Irishman.
He has a different complexion. He's a beautiful Irishman. He's a pretty one.
Yeah, but he's one of the pretty ones, Mike.
You get, it's like a freckle thing, and then it turns into a kind of blotchy skin.
Well, eventually the freckles connect and you have a lovely tan. But if people...
Of course, I'm in a dark room today, it looks like. So, I mean, I don't think you're really getting the effect of the blotch.
But I haven't really noticed the blotch.
There's not a lot of YouTube footage of Ed Turney, but if you want a representation, YouTube a crab molting. And then you'll know what it was like watching
Ed Turney. Skin was like.
Yeah, what would just come off in one piece.
And Oscar, you've got good skin.
You do.
I do. I just feel the sweat going down my back as I had to run.
So you don't want
to
shine.
I don't
want to. You hate to shine.
I don't like to shine. It's
you're
all about you guys.
No, it's not what he means, Oscar.
It's all about you guys.
It's very different.
You're shining a lot today.
Yeah.
By the way, can I just say to my wife, yep, your boy was right. Your boy who bought that 12,000 BTU $300 Walmart air conditioner.
Ooh, yes,
there's my peach.
Took care of not just the sunroom, but the entire lower quadrant of the house.
Oh,
we were comfortable all weekend long with 90 degree temperatures. Damn, Daniels. Look, even if it's one day, I have to tell you, this house, when we were going through a heat wave last year, and we had multiples last year, this house was not a cool
place
to live.
Did Kathy come by and then judge you?
You know what? Kathy isn't judging. I'm not putting myself into situations where I get judged.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know?
That's right.
We've got that Monday night social thing that we've blown off now twice, and we decided today probably a third time. Mm. As Carla said to me, so do you want to go to that thing tonight? She said, why? I said, you're right. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Go to
show them.
Good point.
To just...
Did you? Guess yeah, where right. I am? I'm at home They'll in my cool us. House.
They'll miss us.
That's right.
No, we go there for you know, just to watch everybody else talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dig it.
No, it's the worst.
Don't put yourself
I'm
in
not
that
interested
situation.
In them. They're not interested in me, so the game's over.
But is there anything better, Mike, than having an air conditioner that's a little too much for the room? It's the best.
My buddy Zach, who got in his old farmhouse up here, got the, you remember the thing we had in Manassas? Remember that unit we had?
Yeah,
the
ceiling
from
mounted.
Our friends?
Yeah.
And that's the type that he's got upstairs and downstairs. And I'll go into it later in the show, why I was over there. We had a bit of an emergency situation this weekend. But I walked in and checked it out. And to open a door and feel a house like that
wonderful
up here, that cool, it's great. So yeah. I was happy. But air conditioning awesome. Is, you know.
You don't have a lot of air-conditioned houses up there in that neighborhood,
no,
right?
No, not a lot at all. And, you know, and kudos to the individual that invented that. Thomas Edison for inventing the air conditioner.
Mr. Edison,
I am very thrilled.
Wait, Joe Carrier.
Wait,
I think
do you have an R2-D2 or like the little wall unit guy?
Thomas Train. Thomas the Train invented the air conditioner. I think it's a. Can we find out who invented air conditioner?
And
they don't get enough credit.
Mr. Conditioner.
You will actually. Joe Conditioner. There is. It's a name you'll recognize. I remember because I've seen it before.
The inventor of the air conditioner?
I thought it was Michael and Son.
It's Willis Carrier.
Yeah, oh, Carrier. Snap.
Is Carrier. It really Carrier?
It is Carrier.
Damn. Do
you have anything more, or is that just Willis Carrier?
All I have is Willis Carrier. I'm looking for more details now.
Willis Carrier.
It sounds like NASA. Carrier.
Yeah, I mean, we got the moon launch.
We're looking for more details now.
Mike,
over.
I went to the moon launch.
So tell me about that. Please tell me about that.
Washington Monument.
Yes.
Yes. Give us the backstory
okay.
so we know what's going on.
So 50th anniversary of the moon launch. We talked about it briefly last week. Fry had actually put me onto it early last week before we talked about it here. And if you haven't found the bonus show yet, I implore you of all bonus shows, find out how dumb Rob really is on this past Friday's bonus show. Please,
right,
for the love of God.
Is that where they tell the story? Is that the one where you tell the story about me falling down because I carry a backpack?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, I mean, look.
That's how dumb I am. Mike.
No. That was moronic of me.
Yeah, keep.
You
stubborn.
Actually mentioned that, and I'll say, you know what? You want to come after me? I'll come after you. This is what happened. Rob said
he comes out here and he's awake.
He said he didn't know why we care about the space program.
No,
he
that's
it's
not.
Dumb.
That's not what I said at all. I said, in my history, I have not been that much into space travel. And then if you stay for the whole
thing, I'll give you the third interpretation.
Oh, there's
the way you said it, you said you're not a fan.
Yeah, okay.
Like it's a TV show for you.
I'll cop into that. But then admit, but I also have, you have to admit, your information that you gave to me during the bonus show, I turned. I don't listen to you. No, not you. I turned around on it a little bit. And
the whole thing with space travel is that we have a big, heated, wonderful.
It's
long.
It is wonderful
discussion,
yes.
And it's not.
It's glorious. You know,
it's really good. But it was precipitated by you talking about this wanting commemoration of Apollo 11's moon landing.
Yes.
That took place Saturday at the Washington Monument, where they put a model of Apollo 11, the rocket, on the launch pad, projected it on the side of the Washington Monument. But would have loved to be there.
It
for
was
that.
The full effing launch.
Full Monty.
They launched, they project and saw half of one in the second show. They had four shows in the evening, right? We got there for the 9:30. By we, I mean my wife, Shannon, Todd, and Marissa, my two other friends that love to do things in the city. And
dogs?
Dogs didn't go. We're going to take them in the heat. So we left them at home. Went to the 9:30, saw the 9:30, the end of the 9:30 show close to the monument, absolutely gorgeous, and then went back to what was supposed to be the best vantage point up next to the Smithsonian Castle, for those of you in the D.C. area, mm-hmm. across the lawn from the Air and Space Museum. And there they had the full Monty, the full show, countdown, screens
right,
left and right.
I got a specific question. Yes. So you've got the Apollo 11 projected onto the Washington Monument.
Yes. Yes.
And then they show the launch.
Yes.
What happened when the the tip of the rocket clears the top of the Washington Monument? Do you just see it vanish, or do you?
Oscar was unclear, Mike. The actual monument launched. They put.
You know what?
That's
just because you hate space.
That's what those things that we saw on the ground were.
That's right. That's right.
The ultimate launch. What?
I'm texting you pictures right now as we speak. Keep talking, please.
Cool. I really think this is a. You know what? They do things once in a while where
inspired.
It seemed inspired. Yeah, it really is a great hit. When I saw that projected on the Washington Monument, I said, "What a perfect idea! So, what a great way to commemorate."
Also, you know? It was sort of a surprise. We wouldn't have known about it as early as we did, except they had to do a test, and Channel 5 spotted it. They hadn't even press released it yet.
And I sent some pictures over. You again in a second. For me, what was fascinating, and that's a great question: how are they going to track the rocket when it launched? By the way, to scale. Always nice when you have smart friends around. The Washington Monument is 500 plus feet.
555, I think.
Yes. The Saturn V rocket is 300 plus feet. So the rocket
It
was to scale. The way it was laid onto the monument, onto the monument.
Very cool.
And you see the launch, and as it launches, it tracks through the air. It shows the three rockets and the three stages separate from each other. And then
All this is projected on the side of the Washington Monument.
On the side of the Washington Monument. And
look at your phone, Mike. The pictures are amazing.
What you also see is it's an interpretation, but beautifully put to music as well. As you see the lunar, the lander separate itself and land onto the moon. And then they have a beautiful moment where what would be Neil Armstrong's footprint.
Yeah.
Actually, a footprint appears on the surface of the moon.
God, then, what a time to do that. We need that.
Oh,
stuff,
my God. Could you? I mean, I couldn't have felt prouder to be an American.
And from your statistics, that looks like it is exactly the right height. It looks like they nailed it.
They absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And for me, also beautiful how they went all the way around. Like they took you from launch in 17 minutes to the landing, the spacewalk, and then back to touchdown with the parachute and the capsule into the ocean. And it was absolutely. It was spectacular.
How crowded
was it?
Spectacular.
It was crowded.
I bet it was.
For the heat?
Yeah.
Jammed.
You know, we had a rocket launching down here that I'll tell you about later in the show today because this is just a little preview of that discussion that to all parents out there, just be careful. When you get the cheap toy online, you're probably getting a cheap toy. And, it's cheap for the whole ride. But we had a bit of a launch. I ordered. The toy was referred to as the ginormous rocket.
Ah,
I think I know that's what
it was. That's what it was called. It was interesting, and that process began. I put so many toys together that I know now when I open the box whether it's going to be fun or an ordeal.
And
kudos to that. But you'll hear the story of that and lots more fun and more thrills. So you give that a 10, the rocket.
I give it a 10. I think I'm a rube to say that they should do more of this because I don't know how they would in the sheer expense. I don't know if it equates. I feel like for a 50th anniversary, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But to walk around. So and just for those who have been to D.C. or in the area, I really thought I was like, what's it going to take? Just put it on all four sides. No. They just put it on one side, and they fence off the rest of the mall so you can't just, like, peer around. You have to walk to a certain vantage point.
I would imagine that's a pretty significant expense if you multiply what they're doing times four. That's why they don't do it. Yeah. You want to see it on one screen.
I think it would have to do also with lighting because you wouldn't get a sharp projection if you had that much light going on out there.
But what they did, gorgeous, and the amount of people in the middle of the night on the mall, I've never seen, like, in my life. I felt like I was at Merriweather Post at a night concert.
Yes, but and with the muggings.
The Washington Monument, near and dear to my heart, because that's with my bachelor party that I had before our, Carl and my wedding. We went up to the top of the Washington Monument. It was very, very cool.
I'm sitting there with my wife, who could be less interested in space for some reason, that I said, can you please pretend to care? Can you please, this is a moment.
Hook her
this
up
is
with
great.
Rob. Yeah, Rob's not a fan either.
I don't know if it was the
But he didn't call her stupid.
No, but I
take notes over here, pal.
I intimated that. I said, come on. I know this isn't a makeup tutorial, but it's space.
She didn't care about it.
Well, she seemed slightly annoyed that we stayed for a second show. And that's fine.
Did you just go to a lawn area and just hang out to wait for the second show? Or was there a sit-down situation where you could have a beverage or anything?
No beverages. We did remark that we went to dinner and then forgot all the pre-planning for a blanket or flasks. Okay. That's something we should have brought.
All right. So what was the total time you spent down at the mall waiting, seeing the tail end of the first show and waiting for the second show?
An hour.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and then
I'm with your boy.
I get 45 minutes waiting for a car to get back because everybody and their mothers got every Uber and everything DC. Out. Oh, we didn't get home till midnight, Mike.
You should have taken Metro Rail.
Midnight.
Midnight, like to get, you didn't go. So after the second show, it took you that long to get?
9:30 show at 9:40 roughly, right?
Right.
Wow.
And then we stayed. The 10:30 show was 5 minutes late. I'm sure NASA wasn't pleased for that. Everybody kept on yelling, you have one job. You had one job. Get this going right. I'm sure the projector overheated.
Did music accompany it? And
yeah, beautiful.
Like that?
Beautiful music. Oh, see, beautiful.
I would have loved that.
I think, Jesus. They had,
what if they do it? Why don't they do it every week?
They should do it.
DC could use a little bump in.
Yes.
How about every night? I mean, how about a little Vegas in DC? Why not have that every? Wouldn't that be a great addition to the Washington Monument? But they probably
Mike,
wouldn't do that.
I should note that they had a famous composer. I don't remember his name. That actually did the music too.
Lady Gaga.
It was Pitbull. I said to Shannon. I said.
Sorry.
Actually, he couldn't write the score, Mike, because he didn't know the zip code, the area code for the moon.
This is gonna sound like a Rube comment. Probably is. I felt like the whimsy and I guess imagination of what you see at Disney World or Universal Orlando was here in the city. For them to actually project something like
kinda
that.
Fun.
2 years of planning went into it. Absolutely beautiful.
You could do so many different things with that.
What movies that could you see? I was trying to think of vertical movies we could watch on the Washington Monument.
Have to be someone very tall.
I got it. I have it. Yes. This is kind of a bookend. Deep Throat.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned.
Old porn.
Standing entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
What would you have me do, Stephen?
Tip the ship's grog over the side.
Stop that grog.
Nagel was drunk when he insulted Hollum. Did you know that?
Stop 200 years of privilege and tradition. I'd rather have them 3 sheets to the wind on occasion than have a mutiny on my hands.
You see, I'm rather understanding of mutineers. Men pressed from their homes, their chosen occupations, confined for months aboard a wooden prison.
Stephen, I profoundly respect your right to disagree with me here in this cabin, but I can only afford one rebel on this ship.
The man failed to salute.
For God's sake, Stephen, there's hierarchies even in nature, as you've often said yourself.
There is no disdain in nature. There is no humiliation.
Men must be governed. Often not wisely, I will grant you, but they must be governed nonetheless.
That's the excuse of every tyrant in history. From Nero to Bonaparte. And I, for one, am opposed to authority.
Your opposition is not my concern.
Misery and oppression.
You've come to the wrong shop for anarchy, brother.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun. Yeah. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Hey!
It's
I want to sleep
Mike
with you,
O'Mara
Russell!
Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Live from the podcast.
Project that
studios.
On the monument.
In our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, TMOS to our friends. If you're new, enjoy. If you're one of our longtime fans, we appreciate that. Every single day from Mount Airy, Maryland to Hyderabad, India, from Rock Hill, Virginia to Granger, Washington, from Mendoza, Argentina to Arco, Idaho, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And we are brought to you today by Hims. Here's a fact. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and by the time you notice, it's too late. The solution? 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. 4hims.com connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Real prescriptions backed by science. No nonsense. And I hate nonsense.
It's true, Oscar. He really hates nonsense. Does not
it's
like
terrible.
It.
Terrible. Just answer a few questions. The doctor reviews it. And the products are shipped directly to your door. I hate doctor's offices, so I love 4hims.com. Remember, easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. So act now. Order now. Our listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Care Kit for not hair care, hair kit. Hair kit. Not hair care. You've said hair care before. It's not. Excuse me just a second. We're in the middle of a curse, right?
Stop the music.
It's a great product, Hims. And you have to say hair care like it's somewhere where you go down into a barber shop. Stop it!
I didn't mean to do that. I was just...
Yes, you did. You do it every single time.
All right, I said hair care.
Yeah, you said hair care again and again and again. Like a fool making the same mistake twice, three times, four times, five times! Knock it off.
All right. I chew my head off.
I have to chew your head off when you make the same mistake. Again and again and again.
Just answer a few questions. The doctor reviews it, and the products are shipped directly to your door. It's the Hims Complete Hair Kit.
Yes.
Excellent. Finally.
For just $5 today, while supplies last, and subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. This would cost you hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy or anywhere else. Go to 4hims.com/TMOS. That's FORHIMS.com/TMOS. Don't wait. 4hims.com/TMOS. And we thank
Woo!
You.
Nice.
Is that all right now? We all set to go now?
Of course it's all right now. Go and do your stupid show.
All right. Please leave.
All right.
Well, now.
Okay.
Go.
Go it.
No, you're not. You're still standing there.
Go!
Here, now he left.
I wasn't aware that he ever left. I thought he was always there.
Well, he's there, but it's just when he materializes. That's
like Captain Chaos.
Captain Chaos.
He's here, my. JJ.
What a weekend. What a weekend.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know where to start. I do not know where to start.
Well, we left you at the birthday.
Yeah, birthday.
All right, it was fine. The birthday party was great. Rob Spiewak, thank you for that robot. It was a big hit.
Good.
The party was a wonderful small gathering with just the next door neighbors, my buddy Zach, and my brother-in-law and my sister. It was really terrific. It was small, and I just get such a kick out of being not only welcoming but accepted by the local folks up here, because that means more to me. It really does. It's just and you know, they're youngsters, and I like them, and they come by, and it was just super fun. And one of the things that came up was I'd had an adult beverage, and I said to my next door neighbor Sev, I said, you know what, Michael has requested for his birthday that you burn rubber out in front of the house again with that fast little early model Camaro that you happen to have acquired.
You know what would be a good birthday present for a boy? Come here.
I'm 60 years old. And I still am I'm still a child. I am still a
six
child,
or 60. Just, everybody likes it.
It's fine. And so they came by. They had another thing to do. So the neighbors came by. They didn't have their little one. But they had a couple's night out because their daughter was staying with his mother. So they just dropped by very quickly, and it was nice to see them. And he's a fun guy. He's just a fun guy in his 20s and just likes life. And so we go back inside the house, and I think we're starting to eat dinner, Michael's birthday dinner out in front of you here. And this white Camaro,
so funny,
1990 whatever or 1980s. This is an old car,
right?
And it's got a lively engine, and he's doing lively circles. He's
doing great. Doing, do you have circles full donut circles on the street?
They're SCs. They're Seb circles. Okay. My next door neighbor, sorry. Seb. And the move is like 1, 2, 3, and then he tears down the road. Yeah, dangerous. Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, okay? It takes skill as well. You, full control.
It takes some skill. Yes.
Three donuts.
Yes.
And then you're out. Pretty cool.
Tremendous control.
Yeah, I'd love to see
that.
And
the best is when he comes back and you hear the car just going. Yeah. The car goes back into the driveway. And
do the idling sound again.
Yeah. He does it so well.
That's great. It's so true.
It's like I'll do the whole sound.
Okay, great.
I can't do the screeching, but it's like. It comes back. Comes back like that. It was big
it's
fun.
So and, true.
And Michael was a earlier in the day. Michael and I went out and we went fishing together.
He went fishing with Mike.
Went fishing with Mike. Just Michael and I on the boat.
And there was
alone.
A bit of hesitation and, going into it. I recall.
Yeah, because it's a 6-year old on a boat, and you just like extra hands. So I asked Carla, and she said, "Now." So she didn't come along. And,
what'd she say?
But she now. But she dropped him off. She dropped him off on the dock, and then we went out. And then I said, "Okay, 1 hour tops. We're going to be out there half an hour with this age. It's going to be tops. Sure. We're going to be out." We ended up going out, and of course, because Mike's on the boat, beautiful flat kind of a little minor wind, nothing to speak of. Nice little waves out on the bay, and of course, when I get on the boat, this is my own paranoia right here, and this is my own self importance. Nature says. All right, he's on the boat. Yeah, he's on the boat. Okay, kick it up. Kick the wind up now. Yeah. And by the time we got out there, the wind had kicked up, and we went from flat calm to 3-foot rollers.
They were
pretty significant. So I take him out behind this little island, and we're just drifting, and he's enjoying the day. He's using the island as a barrier.
You're not dealing with those 3-foot
and no problem on the other side of the island. And he just, it was just Daddy and Michael time.
What are you guys talking about?
Two of us chatting. We're talking about how I was telling him all about the island, this island that's right off the coast down here. I probably gave you guys the same speech where they used to raise sheep on the island. They actually had a sheep herder that lived out there, and they got wool on the island. And we'd go over and when I was a little kid, and we'd go onto the island and we'd look for sheep. It was fantastic. And you'd find them because it's a teeny tiny little island.
And you'd kill them and eat them.
And then we'd slaughter them and we'd eat them live. We'd eat their meat. And then we'd rip them open and take their beating hearts out and just go, "Ah, you never." No, it was
like
it was
in Temple of Doom.
Yes. Here it is. Hold beating heart here. So he was curious about all that, and then he liked the bouncing waves.
Yeah.
And so it's about, not an hour, but it's about 50 minutes, and I call Carla, and of course she's in town, because that's the way she rolls. She's in town, and I'm like, oh. And so I did, my crime of the day was, oh, Carla, oh, boy. So we sat and tied the boat up and waited for the waves, and then I had to go put the boat on the mooring, which means you take the boat from the dock. And for people that don't boat like this, you probably have never heard about this, but I'll tell you what it is. You have a mooring out in the harbor, and you have to take your boat out there and get a little dinghy to row. So it's two boats. You have to row in. Right. That's the way you do it up here. And this the bow of the boat was just going, me 3 times. It never takes me 3 times. It took me 3 times to what we call shoot the mooring, which means you've got to grab the rope and tie your boat up. And it was hard to do. And then, and it was fine. It was fine.
You land any fish? Windy. Land any mackerel?
No fish at all. Not even a bite. Not even a little bitty bite. That continues my win streak. But it didn't matter, because the little guy and I were having a fantastic time. A really, really great time. And, before his birthday, no presents in the morning, no presents at noon, presents not until the evening. And
good policy.
It was fun. And he was just happy. And at one point, he was a little sad that there weren't any little kids around. I said, "Well, you know what? We're going to have your half birthday when we have the kids over and all your friends are there." A lot of people that go away in the summertime maybe have a little, because it's his school friends and all his pal
it's
Donnie
understandable.
And all the other kids. And, that's
yeah.
Do you do your half birthday?
He'll be dunking on Donnie by the time it's his half birthday.
No, I don't do my half birthday. I don't want to get half of nothing. Anyway, getting back to it. Right, exactly. Can't divide nothing in two.
Mike, the Corvette will be out shortly.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Yellow.
So here's the thing.
Yellow.
I bought him, one of the things that I was the most excited about that I purchased for him was called the Ginormous Rocket. And here's what it was. It was water and an air pump. There's no fuel. There's nothing dangerous. Nothing that can actually explode.
I guess what it was. I know exactly what you're talking about.
The ginormous rocket.
Yes.
The ginormous rocket. And So I'm really, really excited about it. And then when I finally take a good hard look at it after it got delivered, I see 7 feet of rocket. And I'm not sure that how it's going to work.
It's 7 feet of rocket, right?
It's a blow-up rocket.
But still, that's huge.
Yeah. But you realize that right away when I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I don't read instructions. I don't even read the outside of the box. And I open this thing up and I go, oh, the pieces aren't all here because this can't be 7 feet. And then I realize it's a coiled up raft, really, that you just blow up with a... And so that's... And by the way, the instructions, so vague and unclear.
Of course.
That because it's a cheap, cheap toy. And everything's loose in there,
their
rattling
video
around.
On Facebook, it looks cool, though.
It did launch. And I'm not going to be a spoiler. It did launch. But the whole thing is the instructions are... I hate bad instructions that are unclear.
Do you feel perhaps they might have originated in another language?
There's an outside shot, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
All I know is this thing is a blow up, like you'd have a raft in a pool, like for a kid, right? And it expands to 7 feet, and then it has a very, very cheap, like hard styrofoam base.
Okay.
That's what it is. And then you have to slide the little wings on the side, the little flaps. For guidance.
Almost like rudders.
Like rudders on the side. And that goes, that's like a 3 or 4 process because it's so cheap and flimsy and not well made.
Propelled by water, if I'm not mistaken.
And you put water in a little tank and then you pressurize the water.
Mm.
And the water, I guess, is the propellant. I'm not a rocket scientist.
So to
speak. My son knew more about it.
Mike, you had your own launch.
Yeah.
I had my own launch. But I go out and then they have a little cheap plastic stake that you put in the inside leg to stabilize it. Would have been better with two. Would have worked better with two, but God forbid you put two in the cheapest toy in the world. And so I put the water in and then I pump the thing up. By this time, Carla and Michael are there, and so are the horse flies, which is wonderful up here.
Oh,
the deer flies. Flies are up here in Maine, and they're fun too. Crunch, crunch, crunch. I hate that. And so I'm pumping the thing up, and then I said, and then it's got a squeeze bulb. I mean, come on. How many different items can be included with it? It's got a little squeeze bulb. And so I squeeze the squeeze bulb, and you hear the rocket go, and nothing happens.
Oh.
And then nothing happens. And then Carla says, you're not seating it right. I said, yes, I am. I am seating it right. It's down there. Let me try it. Let me try it. And then Carla says, you're going to hear a click. And I'm leaning on it to seat it down in this thing. And she goes, harder. You got to put more pressure. I said, can't put much more pressure on it. This thing is flimsy.
Yeah.
This is flimsy. Ah. And at one point, bad erection, the whole tube of the thing bends, where it just does that. See, I'm putting too much pressure on it. And so click, it finally seats. And I pump the thing up and we got 3 or 4 shots out of it. We got 3 or 4. And
how
the first one
go?
Was pretty high. Pretty high. The best
pretty
one
good.
Was
pretty high.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Best one, it went up, but it was angled the wrong way, so it went up over the pine trees and into my next-door neighbor's yard.
Wow.
Like a bad erection.
Yes.
Like a bad erection.
The worst erection, Mike.
And so, yes, it was great. But then, then I'm trying to get the thing back in. Click, click. I go, and it was fine, but later in the day, Carla informed me that the base that's made out of hard styrofoam, which is, same thing you get at one of those cheap coolers, right?
Yeah.
It split open.
So
it's like, after 4 rocket launches, and that's why cheap is cheap. Ginormous ripoff is more like what it would be. But he didn't care. He moved on to other toys, so he was
good.
He was happy. He was very, very happy.
Not the size of the ship, it's the motion of the ocean, Mike.
Fun. Yeah, only took like 70 minutes to put together that piece of crap and then have it break.
For Thank 8 you, minutes
ginormous.
Of pure joy.
Yeah, don't
ginormous
buy that for
joy.
A kid. Yeah, and then I'm sure that we're gonna get an email. We're gonna get an email from Mike. I've had it for 2 years. My kids love to break it out. Yeah, well, lick it. All right, Mike.
Lick it.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break, and I had to leave the house shortly thereafter anyway on Sunday because we had another water emergency. It's a good weekend, I told you. Lots coming up. Yes, the Mario sinking when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Fun.
Do you have a question, comment, or query for the Mike O'Mara Show?
Query.
Or perhaps you're blackout drunk and need to express your verbal diarrhea?
Query.
If so, call the Yak Shack at 888-920-MORE.
888-920-MORE. 888-920-MORE. 888-920-MORE. 888-920-MORE. Call the Yak Shack today.
End of the promo. That doesn't sound like an ending. Sounds like there should be another question.
Welcome
back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's like a question. It's like a question.
Yes, that's right. I have a question for you. Oh, man. I love that TV show that used to be on. Queer as Folk.
That's a good one.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Liquid IV. I have a love letter that goes out to Liquid IV this weekend.
Yes.
After the birthday celebration and the dedication to my son, we did have a babysitter for Saturday night, which caused a necessary dehydration situation on Sunday morning. And I would like to say to Liquid IV, God bless you for those first two on Sunday morning. I would not be alive today if it was not for Liquid IV. Hmm. I'm talking about true hydration. To heck, I know they want me to talk about the warm weather. I'm going to talk about the warm party that I went to on Saturday.
Sure.
Night.
Yeah, you
that,
felt warm.
That required me to Liquid IV up, like mainline it. Like if I could have put the intravenous into my arm, I would have. But I just had to drink it right here. Lemon lime. Yummy, yummy. Loving my tummy. I love Liquid IV. It's got the vitamins, too. C, B3, B5, B6, B12. The fastest growing wellness brand. You can get it at Costco. They have them in Costco's nationwide. But we'd like you to go to MikeOmaraShow.com and get yours right now. I love Liquid IV, and I know you will, too. Our listeners get 25% off LiquidIV.com when you use our code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order on the Liquid IV website. Go to LiquidIV.com and enter the promo code TMOS to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's LiquidIV.com, promo code TMOS. Don't wait. Start properly hydrating today. The Mario is no longer in the water.
Oh, it no. Is it under the water?
Removed.
Oh, removed.
No, thank
okay,
God.
Is it trailered?
It's trailered and over at a boatyard where hopefully it will be repaired. I haven't gotten any updates. Things move a little slow up here, but I receive on the weekend, on Sunday. I got a little message here. How did it go? Let me see. I'll read it to you. From my brother-in-law, we're at dock, bilge full of water, pump not working.
Oh.
When I got there, there was actual water in the back, and there were one, two, three, four, five, and then myself, six. Six of us, all with no knowledge of boats, trying to figure out what was going on. My cousin Billy came over in his boat. He knows more about boats than anybody else. The conundrum continues. I call Zach. He's hauling his last lobster trap. He comes over. He looks at it. Nobody can figure out. There are two problems here. Pump not working.
Right.
Water getting into boat. Not sure how water gets into boat. Not sure where the pump, which has been repaired twice now, why the pump is not working. So it was very scary.
I know very little about it too, but just as a vague understanding, it's not uncommon for the boat to take on a little bit of water and it's
no, not at all.
And then
no.
But that bilge pump is supposed to automatically work like a sump pump in a house to get it out of there.
Am I wrong to think that boats usually have two of these in case one goes bad?
I think they do. You're going to get the answer from me look, you know what we are? We're rubes.
Rubes.
We're
that's right.
Tiny little. You know what we do? We put a little key in an engine.
Yep.
We turn it. It starts. We have a little gear shift and we know how to pull it into a dock and put it on a mooring and tie it up to the. That's about it.
Yes.
I am not a handy guy. I don't like the simplicity of having a little boat with an outboard motor on it is fine with me. This is why I'm not mechanical. And the only thing that that Zach, who is mechanical, tells us is that this is this has gone bad. This has gone bad.
Yes.
It was a very frustrating situation. And we are now awaiting, people that are more knowledgeable than we are. But, seeing this is my last week, full week up here, I may not be able to get on the good ship Mario after this, where I can spread my arms out and say, I'm the king of the world.
Which is what you always do.
Yeah, that's what I do. I love that. And of course, guess who was the last one to use the boat? Your boy here. And so the accusatory tone from my sister, well, you were on it last. Did you notice anything? I'm like, no.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
why
it's
is
weird.
This rim scraped? Didn't you drive it last?
Yeah.
I didn't hit anything.
Why is the tire flat?
Yeah. The only thing it was doing was pounding out there when I was bringing it in,
I don't know. I just don't know. It's wild, wild stuff.
Okay, but so
Zach to the rescue once again, because he's the guy that hauls the thing out, and there he was.
Wouldn't it be great if you opened it up and when on the bilge pump there was like your sister's earring and you could prove it was her fault?
It was you. You did it.
Like an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
I went up to Zach's house, got into his house, got his keys. Got his truck, drove his truck to my house, pulled the trailer out, hooked the trailer to his truck.
Oh, look at this. This is fun and, duty, too, isn't it? Don't you love fun it?
Especially when it's 90 up here. And I got down to the dock, and I'm going,
yeah,
I'll take it. And then we hauled it out and brought it over to the, we don't return calls boatyard. And so we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, they're the only game in town. That's the way it works out here. And I'd never been over there. I'd never been over there because my sister takes it out and usually handles that end. I don't do that. Man, oh, man. I mean, there are trailers on trailers on trailers. This guy must have every boat. Empty trailers, boats out there. This guy has it all. But I think, he was obviously celebrating his weekend, and there was nobody at this massive place. And,
is he just repairs or is he also sales?
He's repairs, he puts moorings in, he puts docks in.
Okay.
He repairs boats, he prepares boats, he stores boats, he does everything.
Only game in town.
Only game in town, we'll see. I'll let you know.
Good luck, man.
I wouldn't bet on it, but I've had a good summer so far. Yeah. So and thank you once again to Mr. Zach Piper, who is a wonderful human being, and he's like my older son up here. He truly is, and does just a great job. And his timing is always just strangely flawless. Like, he's out at 5 o'clock in the morning working all morning long. And then I call him. He said, I'm hauling my last trap. I'll be there in 20 minutes. What are the odds of that?
That's great.
What are the odds of that happening?
And then
what?
Is it calculated?
Oh, you mean like he punched a hole in the boat and they came? No. No, because he had his on there. So
he was hiding behind the island knowing that he loosened three screws on your bilge pump.
He'll be calling in 10 minutes. Right. And don't forget to put Kathy's earring on it.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. Yeah. So, but my sister and I are both equally mechanically knowledgeable when questions are being asked. And, I don't have the gift to know. Hey, did you put the plug in the back? I knew that. I said yes to that.
Good.
When my cousin asked me if I did that, the plug was in the, and he said, was it hand tightened or wrench tightened? I said, I think it was hand tightened. Okay. So they checked that. It was in there.
Was your tone more yes I did or yes I did, Billy?
Also, who has a wrench on a boat?
Billy's more knowledgeable of boats than anybody.
Well, he has the
boat, yeah.
Be careful. He's very, very good. You're going to get me in trouble.
No, we're friends, Mike. I'm going to stop talking.
Stop it. But anyway.
Doesn't his makeup look nice?
Yes, my makeup looks much better.
Did you get your pancake makeup?
Yeah, I did.
His pancake makeup.
All right. So anyway, it's like, you know what? It's out of the water. It's at the boatyard. And everybody, it was all hands on deck. Everybody, the cavalry came.
Yeah, so to speak.
And thanks to our friend Howie, who put a pump in the back, an electric pump, to get the water. By the time I got back, the boat was dry in the bottom.
So perfect.
I don't know. And then, so we just, but to be safe, we pulled it out to have it looked at to see what's going on. And then there was a comment about the water pumps and their quality, that maybe we can upgrade the quality of the water pump.
Did it start after you pumped it?
It started during the whole process.
Oh, great. Okay, so that's probably no internal damage.
But the water was almost up to the batteries. So that's
dangerous. Oh, no.
Yeah. Because that's when, all hell breaks loose. And then there's a rocket on the side of the Apollo 11 on the side. It's crazy time.
Who spotted the leak?
My sister, of all people, saw that the boat appeared to be
low
in the water.
Suspicious that she would see it.
No, you got to give her credit on this one. You have to give her credit. You have to
Mike's
give her
having too good
that.
Of a summer. I'm going to show him what's what.
You have
what.
To give
that,
her credit.
That you party do. Went awfully well. I wonder what could change the course.
It was fine. Everything.
Have
was
you
fine.
Seen my earring?
Yes.
I think Rob's saying it's caused by an earring.
He has
some mechanical part.
He hasn't shown up for two Monday night socials. We'll show him.
Yeah. We might have to go tonight. We should probably go tonight. All right. Anyway, that's it. That's the story. Thank you. Let's take a break. And when we come back, more fun. I invented a drink over the
weekend. Oh, good.
And, get your pen and paper handy because this is a good one. Rob,
yes.
I want you to try it when you get a chance.
I will.
Because I think you might like it. We'll see.
I don't drink much, but for you, I'll try.
Well, this is your area. We're in your territory.
Good.
When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
listeners. This is Alan from Vegas, and I'm here to help you prepare for your trip to TMOS Live in November. Today, we'll learn about Nevada's official state symbols. The official state rock of Nevada is sandstone. The distinctive red color of some sandstone is where we get the names for two of Southern Nevada's most popular parks, Red Rock and Valley of Fire. And speaking of rocks, you rock if you've already bought your tickets to Saturday night's TMOS Live 10th Anniversary Spectacular. See you there.
Thank you very much, Alan. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by 23andMe. Nowadays, we can use data to learn about who we are. We've all done 23andMe at the Mike O'Mara Show. It allows you to go beyond beyond your ancestry to access more personalized insights about you based on your DNA. Receiving your personalized genetic reports, just the beginning. You can take the next steps by talking to your healthcare provider or considering lifestyle changes to be a better you. Learn things like the deep sleep report, alcohol flush reaction report, saturated fat and weight report. All these will work to give you the information you need for better health. And one of the things they'll give you is factors for problems you might have down the road. You pay attention to that, and it makes a lot of sense.
Correct.
All of us at TMOS have done 23andMe. Our results are fascinating. See what your genes can say about your health, your traits, and more. Buy your Health Plus Ancestry Service kit today at 23andme.com/TMOS. That's the number 23andme.com/TMOS. Again, that's 23andme.com/TMOS. Do it today. Yeah, so, yeah, Saturday. It was not Sunday. It was Saturday that I got the report about the boat after the fact.
And, okay.
Or was it Sunday? I don't know. I'm all confused.
No, probably Sunday. Probably Sunday.
It was Saturday. It was Saturday.
Before the party?
It was Saturday because after the party was Friday.
Oh, the party was Friday.
The boat crisis was Saturday. And then Sunday was the day of coma.
Of leisure.
leisure.
Recovery.
Totally. Got up early with my son, made him a special breakfast, hung out with him in the morning, let Mrs. O'Mara have, as they say in Britain, a lie-in. She had a bit of a lie-in. And then
Is
Daddy
that like
had
a nap or resting in?
I had a rest in after the fact. And so Saturday was the big activity day with all the boat fun. Saturday night was, you know, after a very long day.
Stressful.
The night to burn off some stress. Yeah. Went to two locations. Yeah. And at the first location, they offered, had a nice little dinner, and they offered a drink that was a special, I think it was a Manhattan, that was rye whiskey with sweet vermouth, and I think that was it.
Usually a dash of bitters and served
bitters,
with a cherry?
Bitters. They put some bitters in it. Yeah, served with a little cherry.
Up or That's on the rocks?
It was up.
Okay, I like it. Up is nice. Classy.
What does up mean?
Up means like they put it in a martini. They put it in a martini glass, and you sip it like a martini.
Ooh.
It's like a whiskey martini.
Yeah, brown that martini is fun. A common name for it, yeah.
I had two of them at the restaurant. And you know, when you're drinking that, you're...
Generous pour?
I was, you know, after the first one, I was like, yeah, we ate dinner at the bar. And after the first one, there was a guy that was alone, and you know, he's eating his dinner, and I'm not having anything to do with him. Then I drink the first one, and I say, "So how you doing?"
Oh no! No!
Ended up being a cool guy. Had a nice little chat.
You're the best.
and then two other people came in and sat on the right side of my wife, and we didn't like them as much. But
I'm sure you gave him a try.
Chatted him up.
Yeah, how you doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. How you doing? So then it was off to the, and Mrs. O'Mara had a water while I had my second one, and then was off to our favorite joint up here. I don't mind giving them a plug. It's a place called Ironbound. It's a very, very nice restaurant. And we walked in there, and because this Manhattan thing was on my mind, I said, well, you know, they made it with rye whiskey, but you know what? I bet they could make it with Irish whiskey. And you know what? I'm going to make up a drink. And I literally on the spot made up what is now referred to. I have no idea this has ever been created before, but write it down. The Irish Manhattan.
I love it. I love it.
Now, the Irish Manhattan is Irish whiskey, a splash of Luxardo liqueur, and some sweet vermouth with the Luxardo cherries.
Ooh.
At the one Luxardo cherry, like an olive. And it was fantastic. It was so fantastic that I ended up having three more.
Wow.
Yeah, that was, wow is the word. And I had no idea, because you sip it, that I was there that long and
so
and
smooth
enjoyed.
That it just it rolled.
It just was tasty and yeah. it was smooth and it okay. was not you know and I
not
don't
cloying,
know how as
not
I've
cloying,
said before
but a little
I don't
sweet
know,
nice.
I don't yeah. I don't know how to drink anymore. I don't have any clue.
Did you ever murmur this? Maybe after the fourth
murmur.
One, where you're like,
kill me now.
No. It was like, I didn't break the boat.
No, because that was really never. You know what? After the boat got dumped off at the play, I'm not. The boat's not.
Forget
right.
about.
I mean,
it. Yeah,
I think it's no. There was no accusatory. It really wasn't. It was fine. Who knows?
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what he murmured after the fourth because I know him a little. Okay. Know him pretty well. He said, "This is a lot of vermouth in this one."
No, you know,
this
one's just doing
this. Should be a little drier.
Try the Irish Manhattan.
And, I will.
You know, and I don't know whether it needs the Luxardo or not, but it sweetened it enough where it's kind of
well,
a
no,
sweet
my
little
father's
drink
father, who drank a lot because he was married to my father's mother. true story. He kept a pitcher of Manhattans in the fridge. He didn't make them fresh every night. He had right. them ready to go.
Wow.
But his secret was a splash of cherry juice in it. It helps okay. the flavor a little bit. So you're right on track.
So, in other words, I replaced the cherry juice with
the Luxardo, which essentially
which is more booze.
Well, yeah, but it's also essentially what the Luxardo cherries are packed in.
Yeah, that's true. So,
it's the
you
same
might like
thing.
It. Do you have Luxardo at your house?
I
do you have
don't,
that?
But I know
because
where I
you
can
didn't
get
make
them.
It, you know, it's cool. It's good. What do you think you could substitute? Or could you just use
question.
Sweet vermouth and a cherry? And make the Irish, because I think that might be okay also.
You could. You absolutely could. Yeah, so I think sweet vermouth, and you wouldn't want to overdo it. It's just a little bit to cut it, to right. take a little bit of the top edge off, because vermouth mm-hmm. is proofed about a little more than like wine. I think it's like 40 proof.
I didn't know guessing. Vermouth had alcohol.
It's a flavored, denatured wine, I believe. Yeah. And there's two.
Well,
there's,
it was
there's
a
light
spectacular
and dark.
I try it. It sounds, it, look, it the, was, a whiskey martini. With a twist?
Mm-hmm.
I think they put it in the system. I'm not sure whether they were humoring me, but I think they put it in the system over there. And
did
it
he
was
pretend?
Fun.
Did it look like he was pretending to
no,
type?
No, the lady bartender, Wanda.
Oh, we're
Wanda
putting
was
it in,
there,
sir.
And she was putting it in. Yeah, we'll put it in. Okay, the drunks are here. Tell them they're putting it in. Otherwise, you know, we don't want them to do that. But then a lot of young people around, including some people, God bless them, who have served this country, who I chatted
veterans?
With for veterans that I chatted with and really... Really nice guys, and just had a wonderful that little music. It was fantastic, and then I was having such a good time that one of the individuals was having a little smoky smoke and a little cig. And you know, when I get to that point, if sure. I'm enjoying that, and then Carlos says, "I'm gonna go." I said, "Well, I'll get a ride." You know, we're a mile and a half from this joint, and so I said, "I'll get a ride." And then a couple people left, and at that moment, I made the little pivot to say, "No, I'll go home with you." And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because I woke up on Sunday morning with my little man, making him breakfast again and letting Carla have the lion that I swear to you, I was just so out of sorts all day. Yeah. And all I was capable of really doing was sitting on an easy chair and watching the British Open with the Irishman winning
congrats.
On Irish soil, Shane Lowry.
Yes.
Congratulations to him on winning the British Open. What a day it was at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Just an incredible day. It was fantastic.
You want to take about 40 seconds and go to the tape here? It's a pretty great moment.
I had tears in my eyes. I was like crying like a baby.
In Ireland's Shane Lowry is an Open champion at Royal Portrush.
The winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Shane Lowry.
Think they love that?
What's pretty cool,
think they love that?
At the beginning of this year's golf season, he was ranked 74th.
Yeah, and you know what? He's from the Republic of Ireland, which is southern, and the people of Northern Ireland, there were no troubles. There were, you know, the history of Northern Ireland and the Protestants and the Catholics and the just ridiculous conflicts that were so awful and fueled by Great Britain and all the political turmoil on the Emerald Isle. It's gone. For a moment, it's gone.
That's
and
great.
It's better than it's ever been. But back in the day, he grew up in the 70s, 60s, and 70s like I did. It was horrible there. Bombings and everything else. Just terrible. And, you know, Protestants killing Catholics killing Protestants. It was terrible. It was horrible. These are the same people. And it was just ridiculous. And it's so great to see it's wiped away. And they were cheering up in the north for this kid from the south of Ireland, just like it was the north. They you know, they loved their native sons, and it was so special, so much so that when he comes up and he sees his father, I'm on the easy chair, you
right.
know, after, you know, 500 drinks the night before, and I'm just going. You know, I was blubbering. It was sweet.
Your
was,
threshold was lower. Was there. Your threshold was lower by alcohol and heat.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And his da was there, which was special.
That's
too.
Sweet.
So congratulations yeah. to Shane Lowry. So if you're keeping track of the day today, Oscar had a fall, saw an incredible show with the Apollo 11 on the side of the Washington
yes.
Monument, and Shannon didn't enjoy the second showing. I had a boat emergency and broke a toy for my son and had a terrible hangover on Sunday. That's it. You're up to date. Write it down. There'll be a quiz later. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And that. I'm hot on the trail of that earring that we found on your boat.
That's right.
Like Carmen and, San Diego.
Rob has accused Kathy, my sister, of breaking the boat by throwing an earring on it. There we go. We will have more fun coming up with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, my name's Barbara. I'd like to just take a moment and thank my legs and feet for a lifetime of supporting me. I couldn't have done it without them. And now a list of things that look good in leopard pattern. Number one, leopards. That's it. Don't forget to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show. Always available at MikeOmaraShow.com or the Mike O'Mara Show app. Thank you, baby.
A handful. That's it. No more. There are only a handful of seats left for the TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular. Friday sold out. Saturday, you can be there if you hurry. It's easy. Just buy your tickets for the Saturday show and buy them now. A totally new show, and you need it. You need it bad. They are on sale right now at MikeOmaraShow.com. Don't exclude yourself. The FOMO is strong, so don't miss it. Be there or be square, and I mean super square. Like if an asshole was square. What did you write?
What is that?
He said, Rob wrote, be there or be square, and I mean super square. Like if an asshole was square.
He's calling the people that don't go.
Yeah, they're so
a-holes.
Square a-holes. That they're a-holes. You see?
That's you if you don't go. A big square a-hole. So.
That's kind of funny.
Plus, a sellout will bring back the Dick Queasy t-shirt, so how about that? The TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular, brought to you by Zappos. And remember, no man is a failure who has friends.
Right.
My last show is going to be next Tuesday. I would really, really, really appreciate it.
Oh, please, baby Jesus. Please,
baby Jesus. No man is a failure who has friends, but he is a failure if he misses the Saturday show.
He is. Don't be a square a-hole, Mike.
Don't be a square a-hole. Thank you. Maybe I should say the A's. Less editing.
News.
News.
Boo. Jugat.com. Jugov. I'm sorry. I'm not saying. I'm giving you the Spanish pronunciation. YouGov.com.
I see.
YouGov has released its annual list of the world's most admired men and women. It's mostly world leaders, innovators, influential thinkers, plus a few superstar athletes and entertainers. To come up with the list, they talked to more than 42,000 people in 41 countries. Here are the world's 10 most admired men. Number 10, might surprise you, Russian leader Vladimir Putin.
Yes, I admire him.
Number 9, soccer star Lionel Messi.
Lionel Messi, right? Yes.
Lionel?
Yes.
The problem with him, though, he's not very tidy.
Messi. Number 8, the Dalai Lama. Number 7, soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo. Number 6, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
Yes,
number 5,
love him.
Chinese businessman Jack Ma. Sounds like he could be a comedian in the Catskills. Please welcome Jack Ma!
Hey, did you get some of that food?
See, there's a whole population out there that we know nothing about.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we don't know that guy. Number 4, Chinese leader Xi Jinping. And number 3, Jackie Chan. Number 2, Barack Obama. And I'll give a timpani for the number 1 most admired man in the world.
Yes.
Would you like to guess?
I'm going to guess our current president, Donald Trump.
Oh. What?
B. Bill Gates.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what?
All right.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation.
It needs to be said that of the top 10 admired men in the world, only one of them appeared in the movie Cannonball Run, and that was Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Very good. Yeah, I know that's important to you, you mallet head. All right, here we go. Word has it, Eddie Murphy is in talks to do a series of stand-up specials for Netflix, and that the deal could be worth as much as $70 million. It's unclear how many he'd be doing, but you'd think 70 mil should buy quite a few, but that's not necessarily the case. Chappelle got $60 million for 3 Netflix specials back in 2017. I would assume Eddie Murphy's going to make the same deal.
I think he's going to do 70 specials.
And Chris Rock got a million of specials.
That's right.
Chris Rock got, back in the, I'd take it. Yes. Chris Rock got $40 million for 2 specials the year before. Eddie has been in pseudo-retirement from stand-up for years, but he's been itching to get back. In the new episodes that Rob played, was it on the regular show? Yeah, the regular show.
Yeah, we played it on Friday, I think. They dropped
a preview.
Comedians
in Cars. Eddie says he wants to get back and do it again. I'm all for it. Yeah. Pay him the money.
But I feel so played that the day they drop the Comedians in Cars getting coffee thing, he says, yeah, I'm thinking about doing it. They drop the fact that he's going to be on Netflix. The whole thing's calculated.
Also, it's all manipulated.
When was it filmed, though, right? It was probably filmed months ago. They're releasing it now.
You mean the comedians? The comedians in cars getting
coffee? I don't remember when I filmed it.
That also can be, think about this.
Rob's right, though. It's suspicious.
You're filming that episode. He mentions that he wants to do comedy again. Mm-hmm. Somebody on that team works for Netflix. They get on the horn and say, you better call Eddie. He might want to do something like this. Get it squared away. Timing is everything.
It just kind of seems odd that Rob drops that because it goes viral on last week, Thursday or Friday, and then we've got this story about Netflix. I just feel it's always that way.
Did you see the Jamie Foxx, episode of this latest season of Comedians Cars Getting Coffee? That one, Mike, I watched it last night. Absolutely. You could. I look at Jamie Foxx in a whole new light. The way that he stays hungry, but also he values what experience and talent he has in front of him and the people around him that make him better. It's pretty amazing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So worth a, because I've never been a big fan of his. I'd like to go.
I think it might change
that.
Your perspective.
I'm not a big fan of the man Jamie Foxx, but I love Jamie Foxx, some of his movies.
I felt the same way. And then you watch this and you're like, man, I got this guy all wrong.
Yeah, and he's a good actor. I think he's a very good actor.
Yeah.
Well, I'll check that out. The Lion King had a record-setting debut at the box office. $185 million. Wow. Avengers Endgame finally slipped past Avatar to become the highest-grossing movie of all time worldwide. Domestically, it's still a distant second to Star Wars: The Force Awakens. But The Lion King for this particular weekend, $185 million, and I might have to take my little man up to Bangor to see that.
Absolutely. I like what Disney is doing with the reboots, with the super realistic stuff. Jungle Book was really good.
Yes.
So if the music is good and it looks good.
I want it to be good. I love the story. I'd love to see it. So and like to see how they do it.
I love the new hit single from it. It's called Circle of Cash.
Okay. Circle of cash into our pocket. The average American only eats breakfast 3 times a week, and 13% of us almost never do. That's about 1 in 8 people. Here are 4 more stats about our breakfast eating habits. Number 1, favorite breakfast staple isn't it staple?
Yeah, a staple. Yeah.
Staple.
My favorite breakfast staple has 8 horses in it.
The favorite breakfast staple is eggs, followed by coffee and cereal. 42% of people in the survey also said bacon is one of their top go-to breakfast options. 29% of us like avocado toast. That seems like such a new thing, but Carla is gaga over it. She loves
kids,
that
man.
Stuff.
Kids love the avocado toast.
Men between 25 and 34 like it more than any other demographic. Men, can you believe that?
Men.
People who eat breakfast work an average of 50 minutes longer before they need a snack break. Where'd they get that one? That sounds like
that's made up.
People who enjoy savory breakfast foods like bacon and eggs are more likely to prefer rock music, science fiction, and cats. What? I like savory breakfast foods. I don't like cats. Don't put me in that category.
You like rock music.
Yeah.
I do like rock. I love rock. Let's rock.
Hey, it's the Money Man.
I want a breakfast food. Give me breakfast bacon and eggs. Yeah, breakfast and eggs.
Pearl Jam breakfast flakes.
There's also
Eddie Vedder for Pearl Jam breakfast flakes.
People who like breakfast foods also more likely to be night owls and more likely to hug people a lot.
That's all made up.
That's weird.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
You hate
somebody
hugs.
That likes pancakes.
And you hate
that wrote
hugs.
That.
Do you think that Eddie Murphy had breakfast the day he decided to go back to stand up?
It's all we're all being played. People who enjoy sweet breakfast foods like waffles are more likely to listen to pop music, watch action movies, wake up early, and prefer dogs over cats. Bite me. That's made up. Jeez. And are better people because I like waffles and I wrote the story when I was voting for Trump.
Hey, Mike, here's your cat.
Yeah.
Your cat
Rob and I source our material from the same place. I think they've gone a little off the rails.
Yeah, they're disc jockeys. They love exclamation points.
Lee Hadwin has no artistic ability unless he's asleep.
Ooh.
Once he conks out, the self-dubbed sleep artist creates celebrity portraits, classical nudes, and stunning abstracts that he sells for thousands of dollars. I just can't draw when I'm awake, said Hadwin. He's 44. He got terrible grades in high school art class in his native Wales. Yet when asleep, he's able to control the images he puts down. He just doesn't remember doing it. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the night, he like kind of sleepwalks into these paintings. It began when Hadwin was just 4 years old. He started scribbling on the walls and floor of his bedroom after he fell asleep. His parents took him to doctors after a few years of this unusual behavior, but they were told he was just sleepwalking with an autistic flair.
Sleepwalking.
He says, my mind is in a sleeping state and my body is in a waking state. When he was 15, his overnight etchings resulted in three portraits of Marilyn Monroe. You hear that, HBS?
Hey, my dad will be right over.
Only after I drew them, that's when I thought, something strange is going on. Several pieces, including two Marilyns, have sold for thousands of dollars. The most he got was about $125,000. He donates a portion of each sale to charities like Amnesty International.
That's
Hadwin
nice.
Didn't always consider himself an artist, and many art critics say he shouldn't, but he shrugs off negative reviews. He says, I'll take it with a pinch of salt. He said, my art is what it's worth, which is what I think all artists should say. It's what it's worth.
I wonder what kind of breakfast he eats.
Not sure, but I do know here in the U.S., it's not unusual for young men to express artistic skills in the middle of the night. The phenomenon.
What?
Let me start again. I'm really sorry. Maybe because I'm a little nervous about the content.
This is your something something?
This is my something. Okay. I didn't tell you that because I'm probably nervous about
that's fine.
I'm going to go all the way back to the quote.
Okay, please,
I'll take it with a pinch of salt. Here we go. I'll take it with a pinch of salt, he said. My art is what it's worth. Here in the U.S. Be a professional, please.
Come on, let's do it.
Here in the U.S., it's not unusual for young men to express artistic skills. The phenomenon is referred to as painting the ceiling.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I'm terribly
what
sorry.
Is the matter with you?
I don't know. It's a weird Monday. We'll take a break, and I will come back. He looks like it at night.
Right, Pony?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's right.
Little Jackson Pollock.
Ew!
We'll take a break, come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show right after this.
It's Political Persuasion.
Hey, it's Chris Reitz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I talk about racism. The president's racist tweets singling out four U.S. Congresswomen of color. And we talk about how do Democrats defeat a racist president. It's not what you think. Tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Boy, it sure is hot.
It is.
It's so hot.
Hot is it?
I saw a chicken lay an omelet.
Hi-ho!
It's so hot.
How hot is it?
I saw a funeral procession pull through a Dairy Queen.
Hi-ho!
It is so hot.
How hot is it?
Jehovah's Witnesses have started telemarketing.
Hi-ho!
It's so hot.
How hot is it?
It's so hot I saw a cop chasing a thief and they were both walking.
Hi-yo!
It's so hot.
How hot is it?
The cows are giving powdered milk. That's hot, boy.
You are right, sir.
But you can keep cool by subscribing to the coolest podcast in town, the TMOS Bonus Show. It's cooler than the other side of the pillow, and it only costs pennies a day. Just click the banner on our website and you'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. No sweat. Remember, the bonus show is your passport to the assport.
I-O!
All right, TMOS. So please buy the TMOS bonus show and cool it, because it's so hot, I saw two fire hydrants fighting over a dog. The TMOS bonus show is brought to you by Pitney Bowes. We power transactions that drive commerce. Follow them on Twitter, at Pitney Bowes. Now let's open up the audio. I don't know what he's doing.
Pitney Bowes has got a great Twitter account. Been a while since we've awarded the TMOS 911 call of the week.
Oh, I love these.
And we're doing this early. A lady is in trouble in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The operator just doesn't seem to be cut out for her work. Keep in mind, she was not fired. She's just in trouble.
He's following me, and he keeps trying to cut me off, and he just threw something at my car.
Okay, stop yelling at me. What kind of car are you in?
Are you going to help me or not?
You're yelling at me. What kind of car are you in? Answer.
You know what? You're no help. You're no help. Hello?
She hung up on me. So he might still be out there harassing someone. I think that she should be disciplined with some sort of, I think, termination, but at least some sort of probation.
She should be fired right away. Yeah. But the fact is that anyone who calls 911 is not going to be calm. You have to expect they're going to yell at you.
Doesn't like to be yelled at.
Doesn't like that.
We've all dealt with people. Don't yell. Don't raise your voice to me. A lot of the people that are real a-holes that have a job like that, where they're going to encounter that, whether it be someone in a call center.
Probably not built for that job.
What's that?
Probably not built for that job.
No.
If you have a problem with people's emotions.
Yeah. You just can't handle it. And obviously that 911 person couldn't handle that. That's ridiculous. Don't do that. Stop it.
You hang up on me?
Hello?
All right.
I'll be better.
I told you I don't like birds, particularly parrots. But there's a guy in Memphis who has taken it to the next level. He's got a theory, a conspiracy theory. He's taken out a large billboard campaign in the city of Memphis. He says, birds are no longer real. They are now all spy drones.
I have an avid disbelief in avian beings. The government genocided over 12 billion birds and simultaneously replaced them with surveillance drones disguised as birds. Wanted to put it up in a big city. So we came to Memphis, Tennessee. This has almost become a sacred pilgrimage. A lot of bird truthers from all around the country are taking. They'll come, you'll see them right over here.
Bird truthers?
Bowing at times. They're being watched. Birds are lying to them every day. Every tweet from a bird is a lie.
Every tweet is a lie, Mike. He claims he's serious. They've all the bird genocide, and they were replaced with all exact replicas.
Wasn't there like mass fish killings?
I don't recall.
Just general,
not with Mike and Michael. They all lived.
Yeah, but those drones are only for when you go swimming.
Ah, there you go.
I am a tremendous fan of firecrackers being lit off inside. It resulted in getting into some trouble at the old WJFK.
Yeah, but they didn't like the smoke and they didn't like the danger of fire, but boy, did we
always love
metal
it.
Trash cans were absolutely phenomenal.
This is a video that went viral over the weekend where a teenager, he looks like maybe he's 16 or 17, just lights a pack of firecrackers, drops it near his sister, and walks away. He's as calm as a cucumber. It's great.
I give up. What the?
So that went well.
Well, what a great reaction from the sister. Can I hear that one more time?
Absolutely.
Hear the lighter going.
There's a lighter.
Tell us, say there are two kids there.
Nothing better than inside firecrackers.
Terrifying.
Love it. Love it. You know,
is it me? Is it because I had an older sister? She's obnoxious.
Of course she is. She's a bitch on wheels. My son, and I think a lot of our listeners, play video games, and one of his favorites right now is NBA 2K.
Yes.
Okay. And there is the gameplay, which he enjoys with his friends, but there's also, which I don't understand, a storyline where you can pretend to be
play
a manager and play through the season.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. They get a lot of players to do their own line readings for the story mode, and they're not very good actors. I want you to hear some actual NBA players doing their NBA lines from NBA 2K.
The players, on the other hand, are going to reserve judgment.
How's that?
You got skills to be a great player, but the proof will come between the line. Tonight, time will tell if you can help or not. All right, because if I have to learn anything, it's that you have to tune out the noise. Only things that matter is what happened between the lines. Do the work, listen to the culture, and the result will take care of themselves. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the money, the nice hotel, the private jets. Remember that, and you will be fine. Right. Okay?
We got to get this train right back on track, real quick, like.
That's right. We all have that attitude. The train will be rolling in no time. Let's do it.
Wow.
Oh, my. Someone called the National Weather Service. We had an unanticipated storm in the building tonight.
Who had thought?
About what?
That a young buck like you could actually do the right thing and avoid getting his sorry butt kicked out the game. Back.
He told me to chill.
Sounds like a wise fella to win in this league.
And those are the takes they used.
That's got to be on the production staff.
Oh, they could have just said,
we can't use this garbage.
That had to be at the end of a long day where they said, yep, okay, good,
yeah,
go,
we'll,
thanks.
We'll take it, put it on there, and then they released that. That is on the game.
That's on the game. So enjoy.
That is on the game.
Okay, let's close with this. Mike, are you familiar with the motoring phenomenon known as the J-turn? You were talking about donuts earlier, but do you know what a J-turn
is?
No.
That's what
where
is
you,
a J-turn?
You throw into, you've seen it in a million movies. You throw a car into reverse.
You hit the emergency brake, right?
Yes, you go, and then you throw it into reverse. You brake hard. You turn left hard, and it, the shape of a J, you end up facing forward.
Okay.
You know
does
what I mean?
Does a 180 with your car.
Exactly.
Perfectly.
And it's
right.
called a J-turn. This is great if you have a car that's suited for it. Maybe don't do it with a smart car.
Oh, I saw this one. I saw this
and
one.
It sounds almost as good as it looks. So
yep.
There's some flippage. Here's a J-turn in a smart car.
Let's go for the J-turn again.
He's done it! Are you well? I thought you were. Put it back on his side, boys.
Thing totally flipped. And actually, they asked one of the top players in the NBA about that. He said, it was not a good idea. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a good Monday, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. That's it. We got to get out of here. Hope you had a good weekend, everybody. Hi. Thanks for joining us on the Mike O'Mara Show. Tickets, a handful, still on sale for a TMOS Anniversary Spectacular Night number 2 on November 6th. So buy them. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow with a brand new show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sometime my sister, she show her vagina to my brother Bilo and say, you will never get this, you will never get this, la 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 la.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
Hey, guys, kick rocks.